wouldn't it be fine to be back in the house of the Lord this morning and to look into His Word? We've been viewing what the cross of Christ accomplished for us, putting it in its most positive aspects, and dealing only in that one realm. Of course, there are many, many more scriptures that deal with other realms, but we just wanted to deal with that at this moment. Now, we're going to continue in a sense of the word to show why it is that in many times when the sacrifice is ineffectual, it has tremendous effect. We saw what God proved through the resurrection of Jesus was there for us, but many people just don't acquire it. They require it, but they don't acquire it. And so we want to view the word this morning and to see under what conditions the full atonement is available, and not only available, but is applied to us. And we have statements on that from Brother Branham. So we're going to study that, and before we do, just bow our heads once more in prayer. Our dear Lord Jesus, we again come to you this morning knowing that we're here for a purpose, not just to fellowship, though that's fine, but to worship, and then even in a higher order to have our understanding illuminated by the Holy Spirit concerning the Word. And in there will lie correction and also the edification of a greater understanding and knowledge given to us. And there, Lord, in the exhortation, drawing us closer to you. We're looking forward, Lord, for all the measures of grace and the facets to be applied to us this morning hour, that we might mature and grow up into Jesus Christ, knowing this is the hour for maturity, when the great deep teachings, the mysteries, are made manifest, Lord, shown to us. And we know that it's a requisite, it's required, that's necessary for the perfection of the bride at the end time. It'll bring the dead out of the ground. It'll be consummated in a rapture, in a marriage supper, when we see the great things of eternity constantly unveiled and moving on until the complete consummation of the new Jerusalem on a new earth and overhead the new heavens. We believe this is what we're in now, Lord, the door having swung wide open, and no man's going to close it. It's just going to carry on. So as we look at your word this morning, Lord, may that great sense deepen in our lives. And we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read in the book of John. That's the Gospel of John, rather. And in the third chapter, verses 16 to 21, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then one little verse in Acts, the third chapter, 23, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." And these two sets of scripture are related. Now, the title, which is "When the Sacrifice is Ineffectual," the title of this message means exactly what it says. And that is, it says that the actual sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind is of no avail or limited avail to certain people under certain conditions. Now, of course, some verses of Scripture seem to say that Jesus' sacrificial death releases all sinners from condemnation. Many people teach that. A universal sacrifice, universal salvation. And those verses are such as I read to you in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then over, of course, in 1 John, the second chapter, in verse 2, he's a propitiation for our sins. That's the turning away of the wrath of the offended one from the offender, the mercy seat, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And, of course, in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 20-22, and now if Christ be risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even in identical manner, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, these verses would imply, casually read and separate from the rest of the Scripture, what many churches teach, that there is a universal salvation through the death of Jesus Christ, and all sins are eliminated. But we know this cannot be true, because Jesus plainly said in Matthew 7:23, concerning the white throne judgment, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And again in Matthew 25:41, concerning the same, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in Revelation 20:15, the final book, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So the death of Jesus alone did not put us into the bride. It didn't do that. The death does not put you into the bride, into the true church. It opened the door for her redemption and immortality. That's what it did. Total salvation is not found in his death alone. See, the death was propitiatory to get you back. Total salvation is found in his death and a rebirth by the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, so that we can be in the very same resurrection that he is in. And you can see this perfectly in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, 13-14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." That, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ to the end, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you can see the actual end result of Christ as propitiation is that we can be sealed into immortality by the Holy Ghost, into the fullness of redemption. Now, never forget also that John 3:16 is defined by 2 Peter 2:5. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And over here in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter in verse 5, the word of Peter says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." There is evidently two worlds at this time. One is the world of the godly, and one is the world of the ungodly. And of course, the ungodly world has full sway at this minute, and the godly are living in it. But one day, the kingdom of heaven on earth will have the perfect will of Almighty God, and will not be bound by these other influences. So there are literally two worlds here. Now, if we'll just go back to John 3 again, we'll see some very remarkable statements. In fact, two tremendous statements are made. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned or judged, but he that believeth not is judged already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, in verse 17, we see that God sent his Son not to condemn or judge, but to save. Now, if God sent his Son to do that, you may rest assured that this would happen because God cannot fail. And we know that what God wanted was positively accomplished, because it says over here in Hebrews 10 and 7, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me, to do thy will, O God." And we know that will was absolutely done by God being pleased with and accepting and showing the proof of his acceptation of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Also in John chapter 17 and in verse 4, "I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So we know that there is absolutely a place of safety where a man cannot even be judged concerning his sins. It's impossible to come into the judgment under certain conditions because Jesus Christ's death has prevailed. Then in verse 18, you'll notice here that God gives full credit to the work of Jesus for the sinner who believes. Here's where the full work is. "He that believeth on him is not judged, but he that believeth not is already judged, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, but notice in verse 19 that in spite of what Jesus has accomplished for the whole world, condemnation still exists. For it says, "And this is the condemnation of the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." In other words, the cross does not eliminate judgment per se. There is still a judgment for every lost one. The cross of propitiation and reconciliation did not give us a universal salvation. That's not in the Bible, though many would like to preach it. So here we begin to see why the accomplished work of Christ in his life and death and resurrection, though fully able in itself to save an infinite number of souls, absolutely, see, fails to do so. Men condemn themselves not because of the lack of the power of the cross, but because they reject the light. See? They fail to see the real truth of that sacrifice. Because that's what it says here in verse 19. It says that God has given a perfect propitiation. Then why does not the propitiation hold? God has given a perfect sacrifice. Why does it not work? See? Because it says here, this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now, we just want to go over that and see, in verse 17, that God sent his Son to save mankind from condemnation or judgment. It was a perfect finished work. He that believeth on him is not judged. See? But there must be a certain kind of believing involved that embraces more than just the acknowledgement of the sacrifice, because it says in verse 19 that verse 18 is voided by rejected light. See? "He that believeth is not condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world." So therefore, the propitiatory, conciliatory, tremendous work of Jesus Christ is voided. See? Not by rejected sacrifice, but by rejected light. See? It is evident that the sacrifice avails only for those who are of truth, and that is a certain revealed faith. It would have to be a certain revealed faith, which in turn would be the light, because men are rejected, because they don't have light. The cross, the propitiatory work does not just stand there, although it is standing there, but there's something contingent to it. And that which is contingent is they must have light. Now let's go back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we look at this in verse 26. "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." And that's exactly true. Every time God did something, there was a light that was relevant to it. There was a revelation. There was a believing. See? And we know what the Old Testament required. The sacrifice was looking forward to that final sacrifice. Then when the day came, the final sacrifice came, it was turned down. And it was the final sacrifice. Rejected truth could not alter it. But you see what rejected truth did? It destroyed the power of the efficacy of whatever God wanted to accomplish in their behalf by grace. So we see something here that is very, very important. though the sacrificial work of Christ would save us, we are condemned by turning away from the knowledge of the truth or the divine revelation of it. And this is where Brother Branham made his fantastic statement, which I'm paraphrasing, the full effect of Calvary cannot be known apart from the revealed word. And that's absolutely what it says here in the book of John. See, the effect of Calvary, the full effect, cannot be known apart from the revealed word. And notice, Brother Branham also made a tremendous statement taken from this very chapter. And I want this, and this statement is verbatim. The word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Now let me repeat, because this is very vital. The word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. And there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So therefore, if we are going to look at the name this morning as people who understand the prophet's message, then we are going to have to see this statement boldly brought out in Scripture to understand why the name of Jesus is not saving based upon a sacrifice. For he said, the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Now let's go to verse 17 again. For God sent not his Son in the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not judged, but he that believeth not is already judged, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now it tells you flat there that believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save you. And it turns right around and tells you that the condemnation lies in the fact that light has come into the world and you turn it down. So therefore, the name of Jesus Christ is synonymous to revealed word. Let us sink in. We've got all morning. We've got all morning. Let us sink in. Now people say, I believe in a sacrifice. I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the word revealed? Because he is that word. And remember, it's got to be revealed. Remember, the Holy Ghost must reveal. Right? Scripture says so. See? Now, it's not just believing in Jesus' name. That's fine. The world does. And the world says it's a sacrifice. But right in here it says the condemnation is the fact that light has entered, because they don't believe in the name of that one. Now you put the two together. And this is where the prophet's statement is so fantastic that only a prophet could do what he did when he made the statement. The word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. So therefore there can be no true manifestation of the name of the Son of God amongst us unless that word is interpreted. Now I hope your mind is catching this, because actually it's so simple it could go right over us. There's nothing involved in it. The Scripture plainly says here, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then it explains it. And this is that condemnation of not believing. The light struck, the revealed word came, and they turned it down. See? Tremendous statement. Now, here it is right in front of us. Now let us examine this light that men reject, and the name they claim to know, yet they know not. Now watch the strange language of verse 19. And this is the judgment or condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The human mind would not say this. It would say, this is the wonderful grace of God, that light has come into the world. Now you people have been to enough churches to know what I'm talking about. And I've got a history from Pentecost to heaven knows where. And I was taught all the time, light, beautiful light comes. Hallelujah, wonderful light. And we walk in the light. And we're sons of God by walking in light. And listen, though it's true, it's a perversion. Because the Bible does not say that. See? The Bible doesn't say it. We would make it only a thing of illumination, wherein God was giving light upon our path and bringing us all closer to him. But the word does not say that. It says light brings condemnation. Judgment. Now then, just let your mind don't go fuzzy now, because you're like me and I'm like you, and I could read you just like a book by reading my own mind. We don't want to admit this, because we're all too happy to say, well, brother, God gave me light, and God gave me light, and God gave me light. And I just come to that. Now listen, you are wrong. You're wrong. The light does not come simply as a soft, beautiful thing that you say, hallelujah, I receive it. The light comes as a judgment, a discerner. Now, let's prove it. We go to John 15, and we read in verse 22, a tremendous statement here made by Jesus Christ. And here is what he said. 15 and 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. When the revealed word of that hour comes, it comes as judgment. It's a sword discerning, separating. It's a judge. See, how far is this from the truth, so-called, that we have had preached with for so many years? Where they say, well, it's wonderful. You have a certain amount of light, and you add to that light, and you keep adding. But nobody wants to come under the judgment of it. See, it's just, well, we're right this far. Now we're right this far. Hallelujah. We'll be right that far. But that's not true. There's got to come a day when the light comes in and shows where you're wrong. See? That's why Brother Branham said, we don't come together to have fellowship. We come to be corrected. And if the word doesn't correct us, there's something wrong somewhere. So, here we are in the third chapter again, and in verse 19, and it says, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, it says here that light brings judgment. It brings condemnation. Everything is under its scrutinizing and piercing gaze. Over here in the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and 12 to 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of his judge, you see, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creation that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So therefore, with whom we have to do is based upon the word coming, the light coming, and judging in order for that which is of grace to be propitious to us. Otherwise, it is not. It becomes of none effect to us. Now, listen. All else but the word itself now revealed is being judged. That's right. Well, I can prove with you. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing thunder, soul, and spirit, and the joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of heart. No creature that is not manifest in his sight, but open, but all things are naked and open unto him, under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And this is by the word of God coming revealed. It is literally the eyes of God to us judging. So therefore, all else but the word itself is being judged. All else, see? All else. Now, I want that understood, because it says here, there isn't any creation that is not manifest in his sight, but all things become naked and open unto him by this word. So therefore, every single thing but the word itself is being judged. Now listen, if you agree that this is true concerning Scripture, the Bible here, does anybody dare judge this word? You say, no, sir, this word is the judge itself. Then you apply that to an end-time message. Then apply it to every age that God gives the truth. It is a judge. All else but the word is under judgment. All else but the word. Yet you'll find people saying, well, brother, look, let's get away from doctrine. Let's get away from the word. We'll just love each other. That's very nice, but you know what you are? Reprobate. Just classified as the reprobate. You can't get away from it. Listen, the revealed word has become the judge. Now, the book of Revelation says so. The first chapter, verses 12 to 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And remember, this is the conversational voice. God talking back and forth to a man, lip to ear. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, how come he didn't spot the voice right away? No, sir, he saw the bride. He turned to see a voice, to check it, to find it. And being turned, where was that voice? In the bride. Seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. In other words, if you want the word, you're going to have to go to a bride. The word's no place else. Son of Man. One like the Son of Man. This in the Greek may also say who says the same things as. I turned to check out the voice. And there I saw the bride, and in the midst of her, one who spake the same thing as, clothed the garment down to foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hair were like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes the flame of fire, and his feet as it had been in the and his feet like unto fine brass, as they'd been burned in a furnace, and his voice sounded like many waters, and so on. And right here, as Brother Branham depicted, this is the judge, like with the ancient powdered wig and the golden girdle and the garment, showing that he is the one who is absolutely the judge, and he is that word. And that's exactly what we see here in Scripture. And remember, this is the revelation of him who is the word. And how is it given? It's given to the bride in every single generation, in verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And that tells you that in every age, a messenger brought the revealed word of Almighty God, which was Christ in his benevolence, looking down upon us through the accomplished work that he had made by Calvary. Just as we've been teaching all along here. Now, how does this come to us? It comes to us through seven church age messengers. It is the word judging amongst us. As Brother Branham said, when you sing that song, they'll go with him through the judgment. That's absolutely when you and I receive the word of the hour and we're judging ourselves by that word, which is exactly what Jesus said concerning himself. Now, let us just think of a judge in a courtroom to get the picture. All else but the judge is under the possibility of judgment. You realize that? You go to a courtroom and there's a judge sitting there? He is the only one who will not be judged or cannot be judged. He alone can never be judged. Now, you might rise up and say, listen, Judge, I'll tell you, Judge, I don't mind being judged except for one reason. I know you. You're a bigger bum than I am. I've got a record of your history. I know people that have given you bribes. I know people that that you've looked over their sins because they've given you a gift. And I know how that you're happy to pay off political favors because that's how you got here. And the judge, you and judges say, shut up and sit down. I'm the judge. That's right. Yes, sir. We might go to a courtroom and hate the thought of a certain guy being a judge. I know a fella in Ohio. If I could keep my sick cat out of his courtroom, I'd do it. I'll be honest with you. From his political background and the kind of man he is. But I'm going to tell you, let me or you stand in his courtroom, every single one of us, but that character is under judgment. Everybody else is suspect and open. I'm showing you a picture here. I don't care how much people disagree with the revealed word, it's still the judge. And everything but that word is under judgment, see? Listen, that judge in the courtroom is over the lawyers and their clients, and he controls the court of viewers. He said, come in or get out. If he wants to close the courtroom, he says, everybody go, and you go. And you can plead all you want. Clear the room, bailiff. Clear the room, sheriff. He'll clear the room. Yes, sir. He is over the enforcement officers. The officer may not want to clear the room. The officer may not want to take somebody or do something. He says, do it. And they got to do it. Listen, he conducts the court according to the law or the word, the written word he conducts the court according to the law or the written word, and he interprets all actions and understandings of the law. He does. He interprets that word. There is no one over him, for he is the interpretation of the word, and thereby the manifestation of the nation and its power at that time. Now, we're hitting pretty heavy right here, but I mean to. I'm going to read it again, because I don't write my notes when I get to the pulpit. I've written them before. And I read them. I'm going to read it again. He conducts the court according to the law or the written word, and he interprets all action and understanding of the law. There is no one over him, for he is the interpretation of the word, and thereby the manifestation of the nation and its power at that time. Now, apply that to Brother Branham's statement concerning Christ who is the Word, and the Word revealed being that name. And you got it right exactly where it is. It is the sole authority. It is absolutely the manifestation of the kingdom of Almighty God at that time. That Word, in effect, is the nation. It's the law. It's everything right before you. See? That is exactly what it is like when God sends His revealed word. All other word is under judgment and condemned, for the token will only come when it is dark. When does God send the Holy Spirit? By the word. It's when the word has played its course. When people are in darkness, as in the Roman Catholic age, when Luther came, it was pitch dark. There was just the barest seed living. And it was pitch black when God sent the token. It was pitch black when God sent the word. And God dealt a measure of the Holy Ghost to the church under Luther, under justification. And those who came to that light had to be judged. That was it. And when they came to that light, Calvary went into full effect for them. See? That's just exactly what Jesus said here. He said, I have come to be a propitiation, to be a propitiatory, to be the mercy seat, to be the Lamb of God who bears away the sin of the world. And He said, within My power, it lies there, and it's perfect. It could cover every sin. It even cleansed heaven, as we showed you. Heaven itself, purified by that blood. But where is the failure? Not in the failure of what Jesus did, but it fails in men because there's a word of the hour comes with it. And that word turned down, then annulled that which God would accomplish for them. All other word is under judgment and condemned, for the token can only come in the dark. And as Brother Branham said, all other word is worm-eaten. All other word is worm-eaten. The manna, my brother, my sister, is worm-eaten. Yes, sir. The message takes and it's gone. The fresh word comes and men turn it down. See? You notice how it is that people love to eat dead manna? They love to eat the worm-eaten things? In Luther's day, everybody hated Luther. Then it was after Luther was gone, and the word became worm-eaten. They were a whole bunch of Lutherans, sure, a whole bunch of them. Then Wesley came. Everybody hated Wesley. And then when Wesley went on, everybody loved Wesley. And then Pentecost came. And you talk about hatred! Those poor tongue-talking folks, of which I came into them, you couldn't be in a meeting where tongues were spoken, but somebody so-called had brought in a dear Chinaman, and the Chinaman listened there, and he said, oh, such terrible, filthy language, I can't tell you. Hogwash. It might have happened one in a million. Everything was filthy. In New York, in Nyack College, when there was a little bit of wildfire with the reel, they called it all the devil. Look where they are today. Blasphemed the Holy Ghost. See, but now look at Pentecost. Now that it's wormy, even the Pope endorses it. Everybody loves it. I used to laugh. I think about there was a time when Brother Branham made a little joke. He said something like this. The Baptists want the Presbyterians. The Presbyterians want the Methodists. The Methodists want the Nazarenes. And the Pentecostals want them all. And that's true. They're getting them all. Worm-eaten. See? Certainly. Listen. All other messages are dead. Brother Branham said, there is no message outside of this message that will come to life. In other words, Calvary and the resurrection lies in this word. The name of the Son of God lies in this word. There's your revelation. See? Certainly. Now, this word indicts or forgives that generation in which it is given. Yes, sir, the Bible says so. It forgives or indicts the generation to which it is given. Yet even those justified must stand before it to prove if they are justified. Let's go back to John and look at it again. Here it is, that third chapter, beautiful. And it says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they're wrought in God. You've got to come and see if you're in agreement. There's the proof of the justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's always been that way. Come and see. Come and see if we line up. Come and see if we're in the truth, the word of the hour, see? It is the manifestation of the authority of the kingdom of God to that age. That's what it is. It's the sole manifestation of the authority of the kingdom of God to that age. The sole one, no other one. See? God bringing light. Seven church ages, seven messengers, seven lights. And each time, you'll notice in every single case, it starts out with a revelation of Him who is that word, then a message concerning the history. And then it says, he that's got an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit said, but the Spirit only talked to one man. So for you and me to hear the Spirit of God is to hear that word that is coming from that person, authenticated by Almighty God. See, it is the sole manifestation of authority of the kingdom. There isn't another one. People like to rise up and say, well, I'm fine. When Luther came on the scene, the Catholic Church was finished. It was. Once they came on the scene, the Lutherans went. When the Pentecostals came on the scene, the Methodists went. And now you've got an end-time message of a bride. Restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. See what we've been bringing up. Now, it is His name manifested to be believed. It is His name manifested to be believed. This is that name. This is that word. See? The living word. Now, and whosoever believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned or judged. The power and authority of the revealed word is the greatest that there is. See, that's why you can't go to manifestation of gifts. His brother Branham said, he said, we've seen the word of God manifested in power, but we haven't seen it in its revelation. You're coming in that very hour right now, brother, sister. And there was such vindication as only Jesus had. If I had not done the works none of the men did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And people stand and say, well, I love Jesus. Do you? What if you saw the same thing happen on earth, those same mighty works, and turn it down? The Bible says you hate Him. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I don't. But you hate Him, the Bible said. All right, then, who's a liar? I want to bring that right to our attention this morning. I'm a little bit tired of all this nonsense, where people can think they can straddle the fence and not get on one side. Jesus said, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Right today, we've had the same manifestation. The same mighty works of Almighty God, according to Acts, the 3rd chapter, 19th verse, right down to 26, showing this great ministry of Luke, chapter 17, 26 to 30, Malachi 4, 5 to 6, showing these tremendous things, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, and people say, I love Him. The Bible says they hate Him. Let's find out what to do. Just tell them there's only one God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll spit right in your face. Oh, the Bible's always right. Brother, sister, let us remember this one thing. Let me be a liar, because I am, but let Him be true. But everybody wants to make Him the liar and themselves true. See? Oh, yes, I'm telling you what the prophet said. I'm trying to show it out to you, lay it out here before you in its simplicity. Not hard to understand. Not hard to understand. People just, listen, if Henry Ford got a good idea, he said there's lots of soybeans. Let's begin making synthetic products. So he made a Ford, the wheel on your car out of soybeans. Now that steering wheel, soybeans. It doesn't look like soybeans. You see, it's not soybeans. That's what's going on in the world. And the name of the Son of God has been manifested by the revealed word shown right to us. They said, that's not it. But it is. But it is, because the Bible says so. Old Henry Ford said, that's soybean, sorry. You got products you're wearing. I'm wearing a suit of synthetics. I think it's made out of oil. That's oil. Well, see, your ideas, my ideas, oil leaks, it runs here, it runs there. That's your idea. Better get your ideas lined up. You're all conked out. You're in the age way back there. You're in the age where they're making products out of oil, wearing them. Smarten up. See, ignorance is bad enough in the natural. What is in the spiritual? It's death. See, they don't know Him, they don't recognize Him. See, simple, so simple. God warns that men will not receive its sovereign authority. That's the word sovereign authority, the revealed word sovereign authority. Why? Because they love darkness. That tells you. He said they don't want it because they love darkness. What is darkness? The absence of light. What is the absence of light? Absence of revelation. Living in the glare, as Brother Branham said. That's what they do. They're not walking in the light, they're living in the glare. Judging everything by the past. Judging everything by the dead. You don't judge by the dead, you judge by the living. To see if it's alive or dead, see? Now, they cannot stand it because their deeds are evil. What exactly are evil deeds? Well, it's easy to find out. The Bible has all of the answers. It's over here in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 10 to 12. Let's look at it. I'd like to take a whole sermon on this one because this is fantastic when you get in the whole Genesis to Revelation. We don't have time, but let's read it here. Well, we can. 10 to 12. And in this, the children of God are manifested and the children of light of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And also do what? Righteousness. Now watch. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not at this. Now listen, brother, sister. It doesn't say that the killing of Abel was the unrighteous work. It says the killing of Abel came out of the unrighteous work. What was the unrighteous work? Worshipping God apart from a revelation. Thinking you could understand the word apart from the hour of the light was to strike. Because in the same Bible, the same God has said, you can bring a blood offering, then you bring a first fruit offering. But Cain brought the first fruit offering prior to the blood. You got the same thing right today. People trying to worship God in a mixed up Bible. Trying to worship God apart from a true revelation. It was Abel had the revelation. It was Abel that had it. And then when Abel stood out there and was approved by Almighty God, Cain came along and he said, I don't have to believe that. I won't believe it. I'll just get rid of the guy that did it. That's why you've got religion that hates religion. That's why you've got so-called Christianity that will rise up and kill the true Christian every single time. It's not that heathen out there. You say, what about communism? Well, I'll tell you about communism. Communism came out of the Orthodox Church of the Roman Catholic Church, split two ways. One went to the Orthodox Greek, the other went to the Western, Eastern Western. And what did communism come from? A bunch of people religious. And a few crept in there and saw the whole thing a mess, and it went into communism. See, then who was it that killed? It was that same spirit back there in Cain. Can't stand reality, can't stand the truth. And the unrighteous deed of Cain, in pure, simple language, was worshiping God that he claimed to know. And could prove by the fact there was a God. That same one worshiping God apart from the revelation that God gave for the hour. Now you believe what you want, but that's what the Bible says. The unrighteous deed. The unrighteous deed is a worship of Almighty God apart from revelation. And we can take it right through Genesis to Revelation. You say, well, would you sooner have people not worship God? I didn't say that. I'm just talking about the bride. I'm bringing it down to where Calvary is fully effective. And what the prophet said. And you can't find him out on one point. You can't find him on one point. Every doctrine zeroes in with the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Listen. So here it says right here. It says, and not as Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous, and both involved the worship of God, and one was according to revelation and one was against the revelation. But he said, I'll worship God anyway and make it stick. You see, the light is struck. It was by blood. And he turned it down. Now listen, this is exactly 2 Thessalonians 2, 8-12. So let's look at it. See, the Bible always dovetails, brother, sister. We have no problem whatsoever. Just get simple like a little kid. Don't be Philadelphia lawyers. Now, verse 8. Then shall that wicked appear, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, whereby that they might be saved. And it tells you right here, as I read in John, it's not that they lack a sacrifice, it's not that the power of God is missing, but the truth is missing. The light. See, that's what's wrong. Now let's keep reading. And notice it. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Do you realize that's not a man out there drinking and cursing and shooting up the town, living as though he were the worst monster? It's not a Genghis Khan. It's not the Turks coming in. It's not the Moors coming in. It's not Hitler. It's not Stalin. They don't fool anybody. That unrighteousness doesn't fool anybody. They know you're not even fit to be called a heathen. It's the guy with the pretty dress and the pretty talk. And stands up there so smoothly, suavely. And even with manifested power, denies the revealed word of the hour. That's exactly what it's telling you about. It's not a matter of rape anymore. Seduction. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Eve was not raped. I keep preaching. It's been preaching for 10 years and nobody wants to listen. They all believe it's rape. It is not rape. It's seduction. Where the woman is enticed and think it's a great thing to do it. But I'm going to tell you, she's just as messed up as though she were raped. Comes by the raping of the mind. The seduction coming in there. Listen, they could believe the truth and they would be saved. But they won't believe the truth, so they're not saved. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. God gave his son as a propitiation, the propitiatory. The souls of everybody could be saved. All sin annihilated. But they turned down the light. This is that condemnation. This is that judgment. Here's the difference. This is that dividing line. Who's going to believe what the Word of God says when it's revealed, or just believe their own ideas? Now listen, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. People deny that. Or they say, brother, they are the devil's going to do it. My Bible says God is going to do it. Doesn't say the devil. You show me a stronger delusion right today when women preachers are forbidden by the Word of God and have great healing miracle ministries. Well, they'll sneer right in your pastor's face and say, well, don't tell me God hasn't called me. Look at my vindication, my proof. Oh, God, have pity. Can't you see this morning it's truth? The dividing line is the revealed Word of God. See? God will send strong delusion. And what greater delusion in all of this world for God the Holy Ghost to give men gifts? But they forget what the Scripture says. It said God, when He ascended on high, He gave gifts. And to the rebellious also He gave gifts. Men who rebel against the Word of God. That is branded as witchcraft and idolatry. Right in the house of worship. Now, I'm not preaching the Veil sermon. Don't worry. This is the Word of God. I wouldn't write a book like this. I could get shot in better company than this, I imagine, for preaching this. I'm going to preach it anyway. Because of the truth. It says, God's going to send strong delusion. What for? They'll believe a lie. The lie. What's the lie? You shall not die. Everything is fine. The propitiation is there. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You've got manifestation. Everything's fine. You're fine. You're fine. That's a lie. The judge decides. He is that word manifested. He is the strength of that of the law of the whole nation when he gets in that judge's chamber, on that judge's bench right there. He's standing there. And that bench, my brother, my sister, is just the same as the bench of the mercy seat of Almighty God as He stands there. See? And it was the Word of God that had been violated and defiled. Now they put blood there. Now it says, will you come and receive the blood that has atoned for the violation? But what was violated? The Word. Then you think we can violate that same Word and be under the blood? Oh no, my brother, my sister, impossible. The blood does not give us authority to violate the Word. Not for 1 minute. See? But the bride believes it. Now, it says here, God sends strong delusion, they believe the lie, that they all might be judged, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What unrighteousness? The same thing that Cain did. See, worshiping God. They're blots upon your feast. They come right in amongst the bride. They can do what they want. And here they're a million miles off the Word. See? But they've got their own ideas. Brother, sister, your idea and my idea is not what counts. What did God say? What's the revelation? See? That's why we got a vindicated prophet at the end time, because it's got to get back to a virginity, which is found in Christ. Listen, we see its horrible refinements in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 49. Let's take a look at Hebrews 6. Now, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. That's the Word of God coming. Notice, when the light comes, come judgment. And the last time the light comes, they'll taste the heavenly gift. They'll partake of the Holy Ghost. They'll taste the good Word of God, the powers of the world to come. Absolutely. Know something of the power of God in the millennium and the future kingdom. They'll know it. But it says, having fallen away, not if they shall fall away, having fallen away. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance. They'll never change their mind. The light will never come. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open chain. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come off upon it. The rain is the Word of God. That's proven by Scripture. Rain is the Word of God. Often. How often is often? God does everything in seven. So the once for all often, the once for all Word is the seventh message under the seventh church age messenger. And it's all over. And it says the earth, the rain coming upon it, brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it's dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which brings forth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Now listen, if you can miss all salvation and have all of this, what is salvation? Believing in that name that brings the cross into full effect, which is the Word of God manifested in that hour. That's right. That revealed Word. See? Oh, brother, sister, how it dovetails. I hope you're catching it. Are you seeing what I'm seeing this morning? Or do I have to start and preach it over again? I'll preach it again tonight if necessary. Because this is too important. If you can't see this, you'll wonder why we had a prophet. You'll wonder why God did this thing. But don't you see what happens at the end time? Listen to it. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Taste the Word of God. The power is the very world to come. Yet they'll still fall away. And it's all over. Light can never come again. The veil's upon the mind. Never work again. No, sir. It's all over. And then what is it? It's briars and wheat. See, this is exactly Matthew 7 and 23. Let's go back to it. Well, let's read the 22nd verse. Oh, let's read 21. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now listen. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now look, that's absolutely a command to God to prophesy. Forbidden not to prophesy. In thy name we cast devils. It's a command to God to cast out devils. It's a command to do the works of God. Then why are they condemned for doing the will of God? Because it wasn't the will of God. To them, they're outside the word. No revelation. They'll say, well, we did your will. But he said, here, you didn't do my will. Why? Because they didn't come to the light to see just where they stood. That's the will that God has for you and me. The cross stands there perfect. The resurrection proves it. Now, what about you and me? Are we coming to the word? The word of the hour? Now, he said, then will I profess I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And that's what it says over here in Hebrews. See? Taste the good word of God. The powers of the world to come. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Taste the heavenly gift. What more could you want as a vindication? But the vindication doesn't lie there. It says, bring forth that which lies in salvation. It's in Christ and coming to Christ the Word. The revelation. Now you begin to see what's happened all through the church ages. The life comes up, and it comes through the little life, the life that went into the ground. It has to burst open, and it comes up in a chute. There's life right there, but that's still not it. Then the life goes on up further. That's Luther age. Then thank God for those that come up. They're going to be in the first resurrection. Then it goes on, and this begins to get brown down here right away. It's dying. Then it goes on up, up, up. And pretty soon, you see at the end time, the complete resurrection, where they're all there. But all the rest have died off. The light coming up. Because they walked in the light. Every age had the light. And then the rest just came around it. And I'm not saying they're going to be lost irrevocably. There's a white throne judgment coming. I'm talking about the bride, my brother, my sister. The full effects of Calvary cannot be known except through revealed word. Cannot be had. Cannot be had. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I'm not sorry in the sense that I wish God had changed his mind. I'm just saying I'm sorry for the people. Now, see it again over here in Matthew 6, preceding chapter 7, 22 to 23. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Now, it doesn't say your eyes. It says eye, singular. So he's not talking about the individual. He's talking about the group, the bride. There's got to be a single eye. There's got to be one message for every age. And that message is a single message. If thine eye be evil, he said, if your eye single, your whole body full of light. If your eye is evil, thy whole body full of darkness. If therefore the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Then no man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. Or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be this way with the world and that way with God. You can't do it. And remember, one word off, the prophet said, is the kingdom of Satan. And I can prove that in the book of John. Literally prove it to you. One word off is the kingdom of Satan. Not God any longer. Not God running it. Not God ruling it. See? That's why John could scream, he that heareth me is of God, and he that does not hear me is not of God. Now either he meant it or he was a liar. So I say, shut up your big mouth and sit down. We won't take that nonsense. Bless God, we can hear too. That's what they said in Moses' day, and they died. That they're going to say the same thing today. Yes, sir. You bet. And they'll do all they can to shut the voice of mouth of those that are in the bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's got to be an eye that's single. There's got to be somebody with the truth for the body to be full of light. Not many people. How often do I hear the thought, Elijah is a company? Who said so? Who said so? I want to know. Elijah was one man. Elisha one man. John the Baptist one man. Now suddenly a company? Oh, sure, because the whole body's full of light. And you follow those people. How many times have they changed their mind? Oh, I've been all through this. Forget it. I want to come to a place where the prophet's right. I've got some sure pillar, some post in the light of this word of God. I've got to have an anchor. And my anchor holds. Because I know the name and I believe in that name. See? Because it's a revealed word of Almighty God. Sure. That's where we stand this morning. I love him. I hope you do too. Now, let's go over here to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Or read 1 to 6, which I barely quoted from. Now it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. It doesn't say try the word, it says try the spirits. Because many false prophets are gone the word. What's a false prophet? He's a man with a genuine sign, but he's off the word. So you find out if he's on the word, but if he's a false prophet, by looking at the word. Where hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. How the devil likes to trick us. And so people say now, the devil won't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. So they say, there's a devil in that person, and they say, now, Satan, answer me. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And they'll say, no. Oh, the devil's so smart and so far ahead of a bunch of poor spiritual idiots, it's pitiful. Oh, he'll go right along with that gag. He's right for it. That's not it at all. It's God with the skin on it again. The Spirit of God in that word in a man. A messenger in every age. And John being a man in whom that Spirit was in that word of the original apostles in the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And Paul came as a mighty apostle prophet after those men. Same word. Had the same thing John had, Peter had, the start of the church. And he said, if Christ has come in the flesh, and every spirit that confesses not, that Jesus has come in the, is come in the flesh, is not a God. It says, that's the spirit of Antichrist. That denies that God has a vindicated word of the hour that has a message, and Christ that word in a man that you listen to, as though God himself were speaking to us. They say, I can't buy that nonsense. Nobody buys it right today. I do. Well, we do. Thank God. Thank God. I'm not going to stand on my own 2 feet in judgment day. You think I'm going to try to say, now, Lord, here comes old Evale, and wasn't he a great guy standing on his feet? Boy, he had the word. Oh, no, I'm so happy to stand on somebody else's feet who's got the word. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, I'm not trying to make a mock up here. I'm telling you the truth. But that man led me astray, he'll answer to God. Yes, sir. He'll answer to God. You watch and see greater condemnation, the Bible says to the teachers. We have a vindicated man at the end time. John was vindicated. Now, he said, you are of God, little children, and overcame them that because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us, and he that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. Who are you listening to? Some organization, some dead denomination, your own ideas, get rid of them. There's been a vindicated prophet. Don't sit around here and say, well, I know something too. Hogwash! How could you prove you knew anything except God Almighty gave you some vision that you gave out and it came to pass, or you prophesied and it came to pass? Some vindication somewhere. And it's 10 to 1 I could beat all of you put together in the vision I had. So remarkable, like a technicolor. Like I'm looking at you now and it came to pass. Time after time I prophesied. Had dreams that came to pass. I'm no more vindicated than nothing. Seen miracles under my hands, under the doctor's eyes. Challenged people that they couldn't hide. And every time I was doing wrong, because I was budding in a ministry, wasn't even mine. You know that? You can think you're serving God and be literally serving the devil. Even have a gift of the Holy Ghost and be condemned and going to hell. But if you're a God, you'll come to the Word and you'll find out, Lord God, am I in the Word? Am I right? It says you won't be afraid to come and say, let the Word, let me stand the Word test. Let me stand before the light. Let me know if Calvary is in my behalf. Let me know if I'm a true son of God. Here I come. See? Yet all over the world, they're trying to try the word by the Spirit. You don't try any word by the Spirit, but you try Spirit by word. I never saw the cart pull the horse yet, unless there's some poor old nag and the cart was going downhill and he couldn't stand it. I don't have that kind of religion. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and spirit of error. Hereby we know, and that's what the Bible said, let's stick with it. 7 church ages, 7 messengers. And now at the end time, a vindicated word. Let's go back here to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and just see something tremendous here. Yes, sir, this is tremendous. 23 to 37, and 37, I think that's exactly what I want here. Now, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered you? Now hold it! O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Prophet, 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 prophet. And them that I send. I send, I send, I send. How often would I? Just a minute. You said prophets, prophets, prophets. What I sent, what I sent, what I sent. That's right. He was in the prophets and those he sent. Why? Because they brought the word. The word always gathers. The word always gathers. It gathers and excludes. Why? Because the word is a judging word and it must pronounce some innocent and some guilty. In other words, Calvary avails for those that are in the full atonement. Now you can begin to see why I preached all last week as I did.
relating it all up to the Word of God. Oh, what grace lies in Calvary. What merits lie there. And the proof of His Melchizedek priesthood. It avails. It's real. It's here. But why to a bride? She's got to be a bride of the Word. She's got to be a virgin. Now, never forget Hebrews 6 was Brother Branham's vision of the end time. Did you recognize that? Brother Branham's vision when he went up to Mishawaka in Indiana. And there he saw in a Pentecostal camp meeting. He saw a man living in abject sin. He was married to a blonde, I believe, and had living with a woman that was black-headed and had babies by her. The other man was a genuine Christian. And he said, oh God, I don't understand. Here's a genuine man with a genuine gift, and here's a genuine hypocrite with a genuine gift. You know, like they say, genuine simulated pearls? That's right. A genuine fake pearl. He was. Oh yes, even the ads today prove the Bible. You can't turn anywhere, but you see everything in the age. Genuine fake. And he said, God, I don't understand. I thought it was angels. Now I see I'm with devils. Can there be a devil angel? And he fussed and he fumed within himself, and he couldn't understand. And then one day he began to feel very sorry for Dr. Davis, who had done a terrible thing to him. So he went to pray for the fellow, lest the man be hurt by what he'd done, because he loved him. That's the real Christian spirit. It's the only spirit that really is the Christ. Anything else is human or satanic. So he went to the little cave, and he thought, well, what'll I do? He prayed and prayed, and nothing seemed to break, and he felt he should stay on. He read his Bible a bit, and let it open face up, maybe in Genesis or somewhere, and a wind was, and blew it open to Hebrews 6. Well, he read Hebrews 6, what I read, and that was fine. Put it down again, nothing broke. And then he got tired, opened the Bible, read some more, left the pages open, in the wind, once more it opened up. That happened 3 times, every time to Hebrews 6. And the 3rd time a vision broke. And before his eyes the world began to spin in space. And he saw a man in white begin to sow. Then he saw a man in black begin to sow. And that was concerning Hebrews 6, not Matthew 13. In other words, there was going to be a complete re-sowing by Jesus Christ to His Word at the end time. And somebody in black was going to fall and mess it up. Around the world, by the way. This is one reason I have no yen to run around the world. A word to the wise could be sufficient or misunderstood, too. I've watched it. Brother Branham said he went around 7 times. Perhaps not the whole world. But I want to tell you, I have seen such a running with things that the prophet never taught as to flabbergast me. Now I want to repeat, Hebrews 6 was his vision, not Matthew 13. The end time, the anointing, the gifts, the false prophets, all of it coming out here, see? And remember, the 2 ages will not mix. Pentecost is a shuck age. I'm not running down Pentecost. It has nothing to do with the organization denomination. I'm just counting the ages, that's all. It will not mix. The 2 messages will not mix. They won't do it. We are in the bride age. We are in the wheat age. We are not in the shuck age, the chaff age. There are 2 messages. They will not mix. I've showed you by the vision. It came up wheat. The other came up tares. Then what happened? The sun began to beat down upon in that vision. And as the wheat was in head, it began to say, oh God, send the rain. Oh God, send the rain. And the tares said, oh God, send the rain. Oh God, send the rain. Then the rain came. And the wheat lifted up his head and said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the tares lifted their head and said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. One was wheat and one was tare. Both praising God. Both worshiping God. See? Say, well, I worship God. I go to church. I believe I'm saved. Is that a fact? Bring it to the light and let's find out. Bring it to the light and let's find out. I don't know how you people all with your pastor down feel this morning when I'm preaching. I might not preach now. I don't know. I think he believes like I do. But if he believes different, then you follow him. I ain't your pastor. But I want to know right now, as far as I'm concerned, I cut a straight path with this word that's vindicated. And this is that word that is the judge. I am not the judge. I am under judgment. And I come to that word to see if I am right. You may do what you want. See? You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. This is what I see. This is why I gotta preach. Otherwise, why did God send a vindicated man? Why would he bother? And every time that man took us right back to the Word. This is where our foundation lies. A vindicated message. Thus saith the Lord. And proven. What for? To have a message that would forerun the coming of Jesus Christ. You know what? You know why the people got ready in Jesus' day through John the Baptist? Because he revealed the Word, which was now in human flesh, his own flesh, and he revealed the Word of the hour, introducing Messiah, and the same thing happens again at the end time. Sure, I believe you believe that, every one of you here, but just want to clear the air. This is Lee Dale talking, not anybody else. Now, one is bride, the other is Laodicea. What is Laodicea? Laodicea is rebellion. Anarchy. Two spirits in the world. Nicolaitan, Laodicean. And because all we've heard for the ages is Nicolaitan, the clergy trying to bind the people to themselves, then we forget about Laodicea, which means in rebellion to the authority. Now what's the authority? The judge sitting there. But that judge is not the judge. He is the word of the nation, the power and strength of the nation. You see? That he is that word in flesh. And you've got the same thing at the end time. That word is in human flesh and it's judging right at this hour. That word has come to us, hewing right down the line. Now, then, there is no court of appeal beyond the revealed word. There is no court of appeal. I know people seem to think so, but how can there be in the light of what Jesus said? He said, if I had not spoken unto them, they had no sin, but now they've got no cloak for their sin. Do you know what that means? What cloak did Israel have? They had the skins of the animals. They had the blood. He said, it's all over. When the truth comes, there's no atonement. You turn down the truth, where's your atonement? See, how can it be effective? See, it's not working for you. I'm talking about bride now, not looking down the road. I'm being in all of these messages. I'm being very straight-laced in certain areas, and I'm not going to mix the areas. I'm talking about a bride. Those in ignorance will be judged later on. Those that doubt the law, judge it out the law. Those that doubt the gospel, judge it out the gospel. But we're talking about bride. We're talking about the full merits of Calvary. We're talking about being in His death and in His resurrection. And the proof of it is to be in the Word, because he that heareth me is of God, and he that heareth not is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist come in the world. Men have gone out there teaching things contrary to the Word of God. See, give them the Word test. As Brother Branham said in the first Ephesian age, they came and said, you're false apostles. They said, how dare you call us false apostles? He said, because you're not saying what Paul said, please. He said, oh, that went over like a lead balloon. But sure the truth, though. See? Now, John said, if I had not spoken, they had not sinned. But now they've got no cloak for their sins. See? Nothing to hide. What about this end time? You're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. You're blind. See? Okay. Hebrews again. It said, for it's impossible, not highly improbable, but impossible, for those who are once for all enlightened, having fallen away, to renew them again to repent, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. Once they make God a liar, for that is what they do, there is no hope. Let's go to Revelation 22, 9 to 13. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am that fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It was sealed back in Revelation 10 and 4. Now it's open. And nobody dares seal it. You see, the stone made without hands is coming down. How are you going to stop it? You can't stop it. Brother says, I don't care anybody. He says, we are right now in the literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has appeared on this earth. And we have seen him as he is. Because he is Melchizedek, the high priest. Proven to us. See, how are we going to escape if we turn this down? There is no escape. See, well, I believe in a sacrifice. No, you'll go through the tribulation, my brother, my sister. I'm sorry. Listen, the time's at hand. What? He that's unjust is unjust still. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. At the time the seals are open, the whole book is revealed. All that the prophets have said, according to Acts 3, 19 to 26, and it's all fulfilled. He said, that is that hour he's coming in his flesh. Because the word's been restored. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. He came as Alpha to Paul, a pillar of fire, and gave the word. Now he comes to the pillar of fire again and re-gives the word. Plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet and the former rain. Blessed are they who wash their garments and have the right to the tree of life. Our garments have been messed up by our marriages, our fornications, our adulteries, and false religions, and dogmas, and creeds, and organizations. Now we can go right to the tree of life. Oh, God, can we see it this morning, my brother, my sister, the hour in which we live and what it's all about. Someone's going to walk right to the tree of life. No more condemned. Immortal, never dying. Not even missing one breath or one step. Do you understand what we're saying this morning, my brother, my sister? Comes by the revealed word of Almighty God. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people come and dine. There's even a garment waiting for you. All of these things come by revelation. People write today sneering and saying, oh, it's many years off. Brother, sister, the time has run out. Read Ezekiel 12 and you'll find it. He raised his hand and said, time's run out. It means this generation. Don't say any more, said Ezekiel, the time is afar off. No, it's this generation. And the prophet died and they sneered, but the prophets always die. They get taken to their people. Sure, I'm talking about those great word prophets. Die. See? Oh, tonight I'll tell you about the salute that God gave him in the heavens. Oh, yeah. There'll be a question on it tonight that you told the brother. I said, you put in a question, I'll answer for you. What happened? How God saluted. Yes, sir. Now, they that made their robes white, how are you going to make them white? We don't even have robes at the end time. Naked. But we're putting on the inner vesture to be clothed from within, according to 1 Corinthians. And that word is a vesture, which means an investiture is taking place. That's when a woman gets married. She's vestured for the investiture of a bride. Oh, she looks just like her attendants. But she's got something they don't have. She's got the bridal dress, and she's got the veil. And she's got the groom, too. The rest of them just stand by jealous. And she might even be as pretty as the rest. You say, I don't know how that poor beautiful guy chose her. That's the beauty of the whole thing. Yes, sir, we can be ugly looking at sin. But she's glorious inside by the word and blood. Now, of course, listen. Of course, Hebrews 6 is the same as Revelation 3:14-21. Sure it is. What's Revelation 3:14-21, the end time message, like Brother Branham said it was? These things set the amen, the winder-upper, the faithful and true witness, proving it was he all along, never failed once. You see how Brother Branham brought that out, that he was the amen, the faithful and true witness? The beginning of the creation of God, God creating himself in the form of human flesh, and now doing the same thing by the word, recreating our flesh to walk into the resurrection. I know your works. You're neither hot or cold, you bunch of lukewarm people. I'll spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you won't be my mouthpiece anymore. I don't have a mouthpiece. No church qualifies. I'll come and talk myself. And he came down as a pillar of fire and met with the prophet. Now, because you say I'm rich, increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, how this age boasts. We've got it. They say, I've got Jesus. Who needs Elijah? I say, because the bride of the Word of God says you need Elijah. Oh, well, they look and said, Lord, now we know that, and you know we love you, Lord. You don't have to send Elijah because we love you. We don't need Elijah, Lord. It's you we have eyes for because we love you, Lord. Oh, God, if that wouldn't make his mouth feel, you know, stomach vomit up such nonsense when he said, I'll send Elijah or I'll just come and destroy. Now where's your atonement? See? You follow me? Oh, Lord, you're of a pure mind and eyes that to destroy without Elijah, because after all, you died. You see what it's like? You see how sickening? Now, come on! I'm not bitter. I've got to talk this way to get it across. We are in a vindicated message, my brother, my sister. Believe what you want! Okay by me. I want the record clear. I'm testifying before God in this place that's been consecrated to him by faith and prayer and by the blood of Jesus Christ, by visitation I trust of the Holy Ghost, where I believe the word is going forth the best I can as the thus saith the Lord that the prophet preached it. A vindicated message. Not somebody's ideas where men come together and say, I think it means so, where you get in the room and pass around the Bible. Now, what do you think of John 8:24? Well, I think it's so-and-so, number one. And what do you think? In so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, 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 pretty soon my feet, in all of my feet, then pretty soon, oh, God, 50 people with 50 ideas. And every one different. So that's the mind of God? Fat. Then God didn't even know his own mind when he sent a sacrifice. Forget that, too. You see what I'm trying to show you? Brother, sister, this is a decision hour. This is a moment of decision. Because there won't be any more decisions made. This is a once-for-all message. The once-for-all enlightenment. Johnny goes out and slams the door. He says, Johnny, mother said, Johnny, don't slam that screen door. Don't do it, sons. Next time, bang it. Johnny, I told you, don't slam the screen door. Wham, the third time. Johnny, look. I've had enough. No more slamming. So the seventh time, she grabbed Johnny. Whack! Why? That was once for all. There's a once for all in message. All time message. That's it. There won't be any more. The seal's open. The full word of God come into view. And the greatest of all, we saw Melchizedek come down and perform in our midst and say, here, what I'm showing, proving my blood. Bride, that believe my word, identify. Bring yourself to the light. And some said, ah, that's a fortune teller. Some said he's got a familiar spirit. And Brother Branham said, you don't go behind the veil to the pillar of fire and come out calling Jesus a fortune teller. Because that's what they said. He said, I'll forgive you, but he said, there's coming day when blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will never forget him. See? Yes, sir, let's keep reading. He said, they said, thou sayest, I'm in, they're talking, not God. This is their assessment. I'm increased with goods of need and nothing. And you don't know you're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. You see? You don't know it. Now that goes with Hebrews 6. The Amen's word, the once for all enlightenment is the same. The once for all enlightenment, the Amen. That's the same, see? Put them together. And to do this, you go to Revelation 3:17, rich, increased in goods, have need of nothing. And combine it with Hebrews 6 and 4, enlightened, heavenly gift, Holy Ghost, Word of God, power of the world to come. But in spite of that, they are thorns, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, and don't know it. You still with me? Are you still with me? In spite of enlightened, heavenly gift, the Holy Spirit, the good word of God, the power of the world to come, every bit of it demonstrated. In spite of it, they're wretched, they're miserable, they're naked, they're blind. See? Now, you can see right here in Hebrews 6 that they have no availing sacrifice. They have no availing sacrifice. See? Because people believe they have it. But they do have tremendous spiritual power and the word greatly demonstrated in power, but the light is missing and rejected. This is how Christ is put outside the church. This is exactly Matthew 24 and 24. For it says here, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Where did you tell them before? In Matthew 7. In Matthew 7. See? Now, and in the light of spiritual, in the light of the spiritual experiences of Hebrews 6, who at the end time is going to believe Revelation 3:17? Now that's the question. Who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe it? Who is going to stand in the light of God's word and say, I'm wretched, I'm miserable, I'm naked, I'm blind? Who's going to do it? Told you the other night about a certain fella. Nothing against the Lutherans. It just happens that he was. Very fine brother. He began praying and fasting for God to do something for him. So he decided he'd pray and fast in a cottage all by himself, and he did. As he prayed and fasted, a white light broke in the room. He got so scared he ran out. And he said, hold it. What am I doing in the room? Well, he said, if I'm praying to God and that white light came, then he said, it's got to be God. He went back in the room. The white light appeared. He spoke in tongues. He had a great experience. He has become a great charismatic person. I phoned him when I was in New York concerning Brother Branham. And he said, but you see, Brother Branham has gone into false doctrine. Here's a man with a little tiddlywink. Now, I don't mean in the sense that I'm denigrating anything. But I'm talking concerning side. Well, here's a man, we'll say, who has a one iota experience alongside the avalanche experience of a prophet with thus saith the Lord, and he's putting faith in an experience when the Apostle Peter wouldn't do it. He said, we were in the Holy Mount when we saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and we heard the voice, but there's a more excellent assurance and prophecy, and that's the Word of God. And how can this one man take his little experience and go against the Word of God teaching, there'll come a prophet with thus saith the Lord, and him you'll listen to? And people say, well, I've had an experience. So, back to your experience. Have it. I know I sound tough and mean. I'm just my nature. I'm not tough and mean when I talk to you personally. You know that. You get in a room with me, I'll be sweet and kind. But in this pulpit, I'm going to be anything but sweet and kind. Because I've got to jar people's thinking loose somewhere. I went to the prophet one day. I said, I'm just too tough, Bill, too mean. Boy, he said, you wouldn't believe ale. Oh, I said, come on. Come on, Brother Branham. There's a limit to everything. He drew back in a trance, came on. And he said, somebody's got to tell him it's too late. I don't pretend I'm that one telling you because it's too late. But I'm going to join my voices with those who do try to tell because it's too late. No time to soft pedal anything. It's time to nail it right down and clinch that nail, my brother, my sister. Listen. In the light of the spiritual experiences of Hebrews 6, who at the end time is going to believe Revelation 3 and 17? Wretched, miserable, when they can say, look at this, what I've got. Men even claiming they got the blessing of God because they're rolling in money. That's no more the blessing of God than nothing. That's Laodicea, rich, rich, rich. Anybody can have it. If you're too poor, go on. There's at least 5 institutions that are begging you to come and get relief. I'm not just being sarcastic. I'm laying it right in the line. Nonsense about this business of money. See? Now listen. This is exactly what we saw over here in John, the 3rd chapter. Let's take a look at it. 20 to 21. And it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." What about those women with their short skirts, their slacks, and their short hair? In California. Brother Branham out there, the last time I was out there with him, he was preaching. And he said, "Every year I come and tell you women, don't cut your hair, don't shorten your skirts." But he said, "Every year I come back, your hair is shorter, your skirts are turning." God, I could have crawled under the bench. I could have died in humiliation. It was a big joke. Here's the prophet of God. And the women, big joke. Tittering. Yeah. Who's going to believe it? When they can prophesy, speak in tongues, and see manifestation. And their preacher can build a $1 million church. And everybody scream hallelujah, glory to God. Who's going to believe they're wretched, miserable, naked, and don't even have the Holy Ghost? Tell me who's going to believe it. One out of a million. Maybe. Might be one out of several million. See, listen. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." What are they? That a man is worshiping in spirit and in truth, and he's not some kind of a heathen, an idolater. His brother Bannon said, "How are you going to call yourself a Christian if you have God? If you've got 3 gods, that's idolatry." You know, the Luther almost believed in one God. He was almost persuaded. His best friend had him all but convinced. Then he said, "Well, what does it really matter?" It wasn't his time. That's the history. Now, I hope from this you can clearly see the truth about grace and mercy and judgment and wrath in this hour. Many people in this message say grace is over. Grace is not so over. For it is not simply whether Jesus and the blood is on the mercy seat or not, but it is whether the light is with us. Sure it is. Revelation 22:10 again. That's what really counts. And he said, "Seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand." That's it. It's not a question of grace and mercy. Sure there's grace and mercy. The question lies, who's coming for it by the light? Who's coming to make the word test? See? Who's making the word test? Now, I'm not preaching a sanctified Nazarene or Pentecostal message where I'm talking all about women's hair and their dress and men's hair and their dress and this and that and the other thing. I know there is a conduct which is necessary, but let me tell you, brother, sister, your conduct is not the earmark. Your faith is what's going to get you there, and it's a revealed faith that brings the righteousness of God. It is that revealed word. Not because I'm vehement makes it either. I'm sorry I'm a lousy preacher, because I got taught wrong, if I ever got taught in the first place. I'm one of those that likes to make up in thunder, lack and lightning, or yell to make a point. It's not so. I can yell and scream all along that there's a God in heaven. That doesn't make us so or not. What makes us so is if there is a God in heaven, that makes us so. But this is the word of God I'm trying to preach. It has always been that way and will be what we're talking about this morning. The light has to strike the seed. The blood allows the grace and the light to come, and our redemption follows that pattern. I'll show you once more in 2 Thessalonians, the 10th to the 2nd chapter. Let's go back and look at it. I read a bit of it, now we'll read the rest of it. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Now let's go ahead, and we're going to read from 10 to 12 now. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." That's the salvation there is. You've got to have the truth. It's not simply that Jesus died. The fact that Jesus died is there for you, and you come to the truth. That takes everything that Jesus did and makes it perfect to you. Now, "And for this cause, because they won't take the truth, God will send strong delusion to believe the lie, that they all might be damned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and righteousness." Now watch the verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And he tells you right there, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're in the truth, and you're one of those that are sanctified and completely under the blood. But if you haven't got the truth, there's the earmark. It's the same earmark that John had, brother, sister. Let's not try to change it. Let us be humble. I'm not saying try to understand it. I'm not saying try to get everything. I haven't got it. And I'm not preaching to you as though I have. My preaching to you is this. There's a vindicated message that we stand with. Not that we understand it all, but that we believe it because it's vindicated. See? And understand this much. that we brought in this morning, how it is that light comes in. The Word comes. And this is where we know if we're in grace of Calvary or not. See? Now, there's the beautiful thing. And he said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the truth which has been taught you, whether by word or by epistle. See? Now we are ringing down the full and the final curtain of the Gentile church age. It is the hour of the resurrection. That cannot be denied. We know it because we can see Israel back in the homeland. And what is the prerequisite of that bride standing on the earth? The prerequisite is what I've taught you over here in Ephesians, the first chapter, 15 to 23. Now here's a church that understands election, the Word of God, had a definitive experience, has received the Holy Ghost. But before the resurrection can take place, Paul says, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of my prayers. Verse 16, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes, your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory is inherited in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That is you and I coming to our own personal resurrection right here on earth. And that's placing us with him far above all principality and power. We have not got there. We have not come. We are not yet to the world which is the world to come. We have seen its power. We have seen its authority. And we know it's ours because we're identified with the Word. That stone without hands, cut without hands, is already coming down, brother, sister. You can say what you want. I'll say what I want, but it's true. No one will turn the clock back. It's irreversible. We're in it. We're in it. We're in it. We're in it. The curtain is beginning to ring down because Jesus does all three in descending. Now, here it is at this day. The spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him has got to come into the church. It has got to do it. And when it does, what's it going to be like? Let's go to James 5 and find out. Because listen, the whole Word of God dovetails. You can say something in the Word of God and say it another place, and it's saying exactly the same thing, though it says it in different words. Listen, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, the bodies which must be in a resurrection, and hath long patience for the resurrection until he received the early and the latter rain, the former and latter rain, the teaching rain. The word that Elijah must bring, the restoration. He is waiting for it. And that rain, in the time of the latter rain, amidst all this power, the true word of God coming is going to separate the chaff from the wheat and bring on the resurrection. As Brother Branham said, this message will bring the dead out of the ground. And that's exactly what the word of God says here. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Don't get all fussed up. Don't get ideas. Just wait. It's coming. For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. That's the rapture. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. It tells you right here, watch your spirits. Don't put people in, don't put people out. We're all identified in this message. Don't fuss and fume. Because that's the very thing James warned, the very thing Brother Branham warned. Just stay with the prophetic word. Someone doesn't understand it like you, just praise God anyway. See, I'm not trying to swing your thinking. I'm just trying to get you to stay with the Word, that's all. You believe it how you see it, praise God. I've got no fight with you at all. My ministry is to preach a prophet and show him the Word. Then you do what you believe a certain way, praise God, that's fine. But you're staying with the prophet's message. And we'll all come to the place where we see alike, don't worry. Some persons just see a little ahead of another, that's all. Now, it says in Zechariah 14:7, at evening time it shall be light. The same light shall strike again and bring forth a virgin bride of the virgin word as it did in Paul's day. Because he said, I'm afraid that you won't be a virgin of that word. Even as Eve was seduced. And in that day of Ezekiel 47, living water shall pour forth. Not just to the ankle, not just to the knee, not just to the loin, but so deep, they'll just float us over to the other side. What has the Word of God done? In Luther's day to the ankle, Wesley's day to the knee, Pentecost day to the loin, and now what? In this day, the whole Word of God being fulfilled. Taking us over, see now. But the bride will be born on a high tide of the revealed Word of Ezekiel 47 and Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and will receive the full benefits of Calvary because she is Word identified. Now that's the one thing about a virgin bride, she is Word identified. Because she was Word identified in the beginning, and every beginning must be the same as the ending. She will go in by grace and by God's perfection. And that's what we've been saying all along. This Word identified bride, proven by Melchizedek amongst us, showing himself that he's alive from the dead. that everything he accomplished is ours, because we are under the ministry of that word. And remember, Paul always identified, as long as you stay with the word, as long as you stay with the word, as long as you stay with the word, neither add nor take. The minute you do, curse. Plagues. Take your name off. See? It'll bring forth a light, but I'm not talking about a light, brother, sister. That's another subject. I'm talking about that which will bring forth the light. No use trying to dress a baby till you get the baby. How many women anxious to have a child? His brother Ben said, laid aside the bird's eye. I don't know if you know anything about that. That's what they call the old bird's eye. Diapers, you know, that were made out of some kind of cotton. They're called bird's eye brand, so that he's in my day, so I know about the bird's eye. We bought a lot ourselves. It's a brand. They laid aside to put the bird's eye. This was a brand of diaper, you know, soft diaper, not like you got these fluffies and that, yeah, I don't know, little Annie Kins. I don't know. You see, you're different. Right. They'd put the booties and put the clothes. What if she never had the baby? Even going through the act doesn't mean she'll have a baby. It's got to catch. There's got to be life in the sperm, and there's got to be the recipient in the egg. So what if the sperm has no life or the egg's rotten? And what if there's something in their natures that just won't take? Two people married together, can't bear children, they split up, marry somebody else, have children. Hi, see? You got the same thing right today. Yeah, just bring it down to an illustration. Now, here we are. At this end time, she will win by God's grace, God's perfection, because we know that we have the child here, the life is here, the child can be dressed and so on, and it'll grow up into Christ. We're doing it this hour. Now, I'm so glad we had the prophet of Malachi 4 with the evening light of Zechariah 14. And I am glad he found a bride of such character as to listen to the message, which is the shout, which is the first of the three steps to the rapture. And I am glad that that bride could stand in the waters of separation and be washed by that water and then come forth dressed in an inner vesture of the word, making her ready for the marriage supper. As the scripture said, blessed is she that's got her garments. And remember, at the end time, Jesus said, you're wretched, you're miserable naked. They need the garment. Now, I am glad she is already judged by coming to the light. See, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Let's go back and look at it, and then we'll be able to close now in a couple minutes. Because when I talk this fast, I get tired, and I know I wear you out. I'm sorry I talk so fast, but as meetings increase, I get nervous, and then I haven't been known as a machine gun kid for nothing. Really, it's not my fault. It's your fault, because you've got to listen fast, and you can't do it. Now, if you'd listen fast, it'd be different. You got to pardon me, see. No, I'm sorry I talk so fast. Listen, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him perishing, himself should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's exactly true. For God sent not his son into the world to judge the world or condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. That's exactly true. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's exactly true. And he that believeth not is condemned already. That's exactly true. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. But there is a condemnation. What is it? That light has come into the world. Doesn't say that the light has come. Jesus. He's not talking about Jesus now. He's talking about the truth. And they turned it down. The sacrifice was there, but they wouldn't believe what he had to say. And he said, now, Father, if I had not spoken to them, they had no sin. Notice, if I had not spoken, they had not sinned. Listen again. If I had not spoken, they had not sinned. Do you believe that? I got to believe it. The Bible says so. Now, it's foreign to my mind. Say, now, if he hadn't spoken, I wouldn't have sinned. Who? Isn't that great? Huh? Just let your thoughts go any way at all. Get the point. If I had not spoken, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak. Then at the end time, God speaks once more. And there is no sacrifice, no cloak, because they won't listen. Now, I'm sorry. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not here to even explain. I'm just here to preach it. But that's what he said. And this is the condemnation. This is judgment. Then what is the judge? The revealed word. But who is the judge? Jesus. He is the revealed word. And his name manifested is that word revealed. Now, this morning, can you honestly say, I believe in him who was revealed. I believe in that name. I have come to the light. I am open for a complete examination. Brother, when you say that, as far as I know, as far as I can see, you are 100% with the word of Almighty God, and would qualify, according to 2 Thessalonians, as a bride people. And I don't know any other way to say it or to do it. I don't. I'm sorry. If you're going to talk about your good works, God bless you. But remember, many a Christian Science and a Hindu will put us to shame with love and tenderness and good works. And when it comes to miracles, the false anointed will beat us every time. Every time. You've got people right today that no more believe the word of God or nothing. And they have x-ray eyes that you don't even need to go to doctor anymore for have an x-ray. They'll just look at you and tell you. Save you a lot of money. I wouldn't go for a billion. Not interested. Why should I be? Why should I be? Eternal life is here. I've seen the proof. We know by simple revelation what they refuse to look at. They can't look at it. They don't want it. You know we have seen him as he is, my brother, my sister. The scripture says he's Melchizedek. We have seen him as he is. And it says when we see him as he is, we're going to be changed. I'm banking on it. I don't know about you. I don't know. You've got to answer to God. I'm not, the reason I'm saying this is so you won't believe Lee Vale. You find out for yourself. You get your conviction, see? But I was there, I saw it, now I know it. After 10 years, I know it. You say, that's a long time. Well, that's God's business. He didn't show it to me before. He didn't show me till I said, it's got to be simpler than that. And what is more simple? What is the way you educate a child? You show him and you tell him. How did God ever do it? He showed them and he told them. It's never changed. We've been shown grace. We've been shown the word of God. Listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is that condemnation. Light is come in the world. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, those evil deeds. Worshipping according to their own traditions. See, I've got to get out of my hair. How many Catholics came under Luther? How many Lutherans came under Wesley? How many left into Pentecost? How many leaves for this and for his deliverance? See? Everyone that doeth evil hates the light. They don't want to be jarred out of their thinking. They don't want to leave creeds and dogmas. They hate it. Why? Because they built on that. You realize that their understanding of the word is their life, and we're in the same boat. He that doeth the truth comes to the light. The elect always come to the light. That it may be manifest. They've got to check it out. They've got to know. They've got to know whether this is real or not. They've got to know if they're right. And John said, you know if you're right if you listen to me. And the Bible said once more God's going to speak from heaven. Let's go back to the Hebrews 12 and take a look at that. And then we'll be able to... We'll get you out of here. Don't worry. It didn't say when, but... Won't be too many minutes. Now listen, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Didn't say that spoke, but that speaketh. For if they escape not or refuse him as spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now hath he promised, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Once more God is ordained to speak, and that speaking is going to shake everything, starting right here. Shake the world kingdom down, the millennium, second resurrection, white throne, and clean onto New Jerusalem, because that's what he's talking about. Yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things that cannot be shaken. For wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. It tells you right there that the kingdom we're coming into, the shaking is starting now. You watch when the West Coast goes down. Started in Alaska. It's gone. It's shaking. It's been made ready by the word. But how tragic for those outside the word boasting in a sacrifice, relying upon gifts and anointings, living in the Laodicean emotion, they refuse the truth of God's revealed word, and like Hebrews 4, with no faith in the gospel, though they claim it, they die in the wilderness. Now, brother, sister, listen to me. I'd no more preach this message than nothing, because I'm not interested in condemning anybody and getting condemned myself. But I stand just as much condemned as anybody in this world if I don't believe what I preach. For this reason, I have preached nothing but the word. You say you interpreted it. I interpreted in the light of what a prophet said. Who is vindicated by God. You show me the book you're reading that was vindicated, that you're interpreting the word from. You quote Mr. Spurgeon, he's a lovely man. You quote Hodges, a very good theologian. You quote Finney, he was a pretty good fellow too. Get your Schofield, get your Schaeffer, you get anybody you want that has written theology. Go back to your Fletchers and Parkers and so many more. I haven't got time to name. You quote them. And I want you to give me one time they had thus saith the Lord, vindicating that any one of them was the man that you listened to. Can't do it. I have one prayer May God help me to yield my heart, which is stubborn normally, and my neck and my head, which are very hard. I can't say much about my back anymore. I finally discovered I got a weak back. But everything else in me is very hard, and I think even my back tries very hard. But I have one prayer. May I become yielded to that which God has approved, which is His Word in this hour. What kind of a God would speak back to a man if he wasn't God's man? It's impossible, brother, sister, impossible. And he said the full merits of Calvary can never be attributed to anybody outside that word. And this morning, I believe we saw, if I have projected enough of the material, and you caught it, in spite of my fast talking, to realize that Jesus died, we accept it. He is risen, there is no doubt of it. He is high priest to his own blood, ensuring that all that he accomplished is available, is ours at this hour. But he said there is still condemnation. What is it? That men reject the light. They turn down the word. See? The word yet. It's never failed. It never will. Brother, sister, are we then in accord this morning with the understanding that this is that age when you add to the word, the plagues will come. No other age could have it, or God would have to have a resurrection to bring all the dead up and then put them in the tribulation. It won't happen. It's at this age. And at this age is the one time that if you take away, then your name will go off the record. Is that right? Then for one time, just before Jesus comes in the wedding supper of the bride, the word must be fully restored. Yep. Has it been restored? The brother word came, the man said, Brother Branham, what did you mean? The scripture said, that which is perfect is come. Well, he said, what is perfect but God? And what he said, and who is God but the word? And by God's grace, we believe we have the perfectly interpreted word and vindicated in this hour. See? To believe it. Oh, and how beautiful it gets to realize that I'm believing in His name this morning. See? They believe Jesus is the Christ, don't they? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You show me a person that doesn't believe that. A pope one day is going to be literally the Antichrist. And that same pope, I believe, will say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he'll say, yes, he is, and I'm taking his place. And you know, anti doesn't mean against, it means instead of. See? Not just saying, I believe Jesus is the Christ. That's true, he is the Christ. I say it or not. It's the truth. But you see, the revelation would count. Is he? Is he really? And to see that he is, he has to be word-oriented. It's got to be there. So the prophet came and brought a message which will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And he said, when that happens, he said, then I'll come. And remember, they will not be under the curse. They won't. Why? Because when the bride is gone, the sixth seal breaks. And it's just curse, 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 curse. Just jarring, jarring. Until atomic bombs flatten America. And there's not one person left, according to prophetic vision. See? So why must America be hit? Why is it so bad? Look, I do a bit of traveling, not too much, because I'm not interested in it. I love America. I made this the land of my choice by my own desire, and I love it above any land in the world. It's, to me, it's far greater than Canada, where I was born. There's no comparison. There's no nation that's like America. But what about America? What is so wrong about America? She had a vindicated prophet, and they turned her down. Her morals are still better from what I can see in the world. Her attitudes are still better in the world. But what happened? The light came. And when light comes, what is there? Condemnation, their judgment. The light never went to Europe. It was only secondhand. You see? And now, here at the end time, proven. See? Now then, brother, sister, with this in mind, let us begin to search our hearts. Are we walking in the light? That's the next thing. No, I don't believe anyone will search his heart to see if he's walking in the light until he's convinced of the light. See, that's the cry of my heart, to we all be convinced of the light. Once you're convinced of it, you'll walk in it. That's when our lives begin to alter. See, that's when the change really comes. See, those other things that we wonder about when I deal with the perfections of the cross, where are they? What about a light? Well, brother, sister, now that the baby's here, so to speak, we can talk about bringing the baby up. We can talk about the life, because this life of Christ, the Word, will be manifested in a bride, and don't you doubt it. because this literal flesh will be word. The literal transformation has got to come by this word. And that means there's going to be something in these lives that transcends anything that has been. I believe that. I can't tell you about it because I don't know it. I don't have an understanding on the subject. If God showed me, I'd be glad to talk about it. But I know from this that always there's got to be a commensurate. It's got to be commensurate. So Brother Branham said that super race is approaching right now to the head. See? I believe with all my heart. I believe, brother, sister, this is the day to look up. Don't look at yourselves anymore. Get your eyes off yourself. Get them right in the Lord. Believe with Abraham that you're Abraham's seed, like Abraham. Believe that you're that bride. Don't turn back. But to stay with this word, God bless you, shall we rise. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that we stand on holy ground this morning because we know wherever a vindicated message is being preached, not that our preaching is vindicated, but we're preaching about that vindicated message, it is a holy ground because that is where the word of life is, and we appreciate it. We appreciate, Lord, the fact that we are not building on sand, and we're not building on something that doesn't have life in it, but this revealed message has life in it because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We know that, Lord, that Satan's kingdom shall not prevail. And there are lives, Lord, that are already filled with your Spirit, that are going to go on, Lord, in such transparency of faith and belief in you, that a commensurate walk is going to be manifested, whatever it means. Whatever it means, Lord, in the way of power and all, that will be there too. But we realize, Lord, above all else, that these lives are going to be discriminating. As the prophet said, she's going to have the word and know what to do with it. Therefore, it is discriminating. It is discerning. It's not going to be something like Cain back there that thinks he can be this way and that way, and everything is fine as long as he has a moral attitude and certain other characteristics. But, Lord, this is going to be one word. It's going to be one hope, one faith, the one baptism, a one bride, a one people, Lord. And I thank you for it. It'll be a super race, as the prophet said. And he said it. I'm open for it. I'm believing it. And we're not looking at ourselves as we think about it, because if we look at ourselves, we know that it's out. It's impossible in ourselves. But Lord, because of you, your word will not return void. And your word, as the prophet said, planted in the proper ground, which is our lives here, our souls, with the proper fertilizer, which means we're elected. And the sun and the rain is going to bring it forth. I believe that, Lord, that there's a bride standing on earth, and she is going to be the wonder of eternity as she stands with you. New Jerusalem even coming down. And by your grace, Lord, this morning, by faith we count ourselves apart. Not that we say we are as though we are because we say we are. No. But by faith, Lord, we have seen this much of the word and we stand with it. And now we want to bring all of our lives to the word to see if it's in the light, that we'll walk in the light, obedient to it. Lord, that's what we want. Humble my spirit, Lord, and every spirit in this building. Humble our flesh, Lord, and all flesh in this building, we pray this morning, Lord, that we may be perfectly amenable with joy, with exhilaration, with excitement, stimulation, to have the Word of God in full play in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Not just saying we now acquiesce to it, which you know is the first step. We agree, but we're believing it to an application that we expect it to be our very life. This we believe for every one of us, O God, as we're melted together. And I pray, Lord, that no word has been misunderstood. I trust the people, Lord, for 1 minute. Don't think I'm disassociating myself from it when I speak in a certain way, Lord, concerning my own stand, and they must do what they want, Lord. May they understand, Lord, that I just don't have anything in their lives other than to bring the word. It's got to be God. It's nothing I can do, Lord. I wish I could do something, and I'd do it for myself. Right off the bat, I wouldn't. And may they understand it, Lord, to point them to a vindicated message, to encourage them to stand with it, even though trials are hard and misunderstandings are many, and many little connecting links are sort of evading us now, and even some things a little confusing. Father, may that just go by the board, just slough off them, because we know at the right time, they'll have given to them what they have need of, that the Lord is faithful, lose none, and all uncomely parts will even get more grace to make up to what people think is comely. Father, this morning, just help them to see that. Make us truly one, Lord, in your spirit this morning by the word. such a hard agreement and such a desire. Now, if there be any sick amongst us, Lord, I thank you that your power is here to heal the sick amongst us, Lord. I know that when it all resolves down, Father, there's got to be a resurrection, and we know healing is a testimony to it, a witness. And so we know, Lord, this morning that we may be sick in body, there is healing for us, and we thank you for it. So bless the people here this morning, Lord, I pray. Give the strength, O God. And whatever else the need is, I believe you'll supply it, because you're the God of all grace. And you are our all provision, all things. And we appreciate it. Bless the pastor, Lord. We thank you for his ministry and godly life, especially staying with the same foundation of vindicated message. Lord, we appreciate that so much. Not trying to twist it, but just believe it, Lord. And we believe that your faithfulness will be manifested in him and right through the people, staying with the Word, O God, growing right up into Christ, and putting on the nature of God, because we know the Word is the nature of the attributes of God. We believe that, Lord, for this place. We just thank you for them and richly see how richly they have been blessed already, that it'll continue to be so, that he which hath begun a good work in them will perform it till the very day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless every family, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we know that this message will divide certain families, but I pray, Lord, that the Spirit in the people will be such that it will not divide them in bitterness. It won't be that way, Lord. It'll be just another kind of division. But because the people's lives are so real and worthy that they won't be able to lay fingers on them. Grant, Lord, because we're aspiring to the great things. We're aspiring, Lord, to the very life that's in the Word to come forth in us. This which we're clinging to, like Abraham, nothing but a promise, himself dead and Sarah dead. But it was a promise, and that was enough, Lord, to change him. That was enough. We've got a promise, Lord, of a resurrection. That's enough to do it. We've got a promise of walking to the tree of life and partaking and not missing one breath and one heartbeat or one step. One twinkle in the eye. No, sir. That's a promise and that's enough. And it's been vindicated, Lord. Oh, God, what great rejoicing then. And steadfastness in the Holy Ghost there ought to be among us. And we pray it shall be. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and all honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, before we go, we can sing now the little chorus Brother Branham sang, because I finally touched on the life. We'll walk in the light. Not just a message, but a living message. And we're going to walk in it. And I believe we are. I believe we will. And I believe it's going to be better and better until we're the message and the message is us. We'll walk in the light.